I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Dressed is an exhibit that opens today at the Regional Arts Commission and runs through June the 15th. Michael Drummond is a St. Louis-based fashion designer who we know as part of the Lifetime Television project Runway a few seasons ago. Michael Drummond, welcome to Cityscape.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Good for you to be here. I have to tell you, I was very worried about what I was going to wear. I woke up and I thought, I can't put on just anything, but you see that I did.
You look really good.
Oh, yeah,
you
right.
You look very, very fabulous. So you didn't think I was going to wear woodsman flannel, did you?
No, I wasn't expecting that. So beginning today, fashion and art collide. What are you talking about?
Well, Steve, the Regional Arts Commission reached out to me after the show 3 years ago, and they asked if I was interested in doing a fashion show. And at that time, fashion in St. Louis wasn't at the point that it is today, and by that I mean that we've grown a lot in our numbers and just the community is larger.
We have that whole Fashion Week thing too, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, that was here before. I have to say Alive did a great job with bringing St. Louis Fashion Week. That was here before. I even lived here. I was in Seattle. But I digress. So they asked me if I would do a show, and I was really excited about it, but I thought that we didn't have enough numbers as far as talented designers who really, truly knew how to create a garment. But we did have incredible, talented fiber artists. We did have incredible sculptural artists and also costume designers that lived in the city who just really knew how to create a beautiful garment.
Well, so what you've done is assembled some of talented local designers for part of this exhibit. And you have to explain this to me. Part of the theme is clothing as protection of armor. What's that about?
Well, I mean, it runs the gamut. And I the way that I see it as the curator, Bob Trump, for example, who is the head tailor and draper at the Opera Theater, has an incredible wardrobe, his own personal wardrobe. He makes
everything. He's a biker guy, right?
He's an awesome biker guy, yeah. And I remember the first time that I ever saw him, the man has incredible style, and it's very, I would say, eccentric. And I mean that in the nicest way.
Kind of Harley kind of way.
Very Harley, and at first glance, it's very Harley, but then when you get closer, you realize that there's these irreverent patches that have these bold sayings like classic biker trash and who's your daddy and all of these really extreme statements, right? And I mean, he's just very much doing his own thing, but at the same time, he's wearing all of this leather and denim, and it's for protection for when he's riding his bicycle, his motorbike, his hog, if you will. See how much I know the terminology? And then we have other designers like Laura Kathleen, who is a Project Runway alum as well, and she has a jewelry designer called Love Armor. And basically it's like these shield pieces of brass and these giant cuffs that wrap around the forearm, and they're just – I mean, it's just gorgeous. And then there's also Marie McInerney, who's an incredible sculpture artist – Marie McInerney Bannerow, excuse me – an incredible – sculpture artist, installation artist, who has created hairdresses and hair corsetry. And I think about, and you know, that those the hair shirts that people will wear for atonement. And so in a way, it's almost like protection, like you're making a deal with God or something.
Mm-hmm. Did you mention everyone?
No, I didn't. And we also have Deborah Pontes, who is an incredible designer as well. I would say designer and artist. She is capable of both, but lots of beautiful embroidery, and she's buying all of these expensive, gorgeous designer Chanel fabrics, and then she's defacing them basically with poetry about love, Yeats poetry, I think, and putting all of these embellishments that most people would sort of say, this fabric is perfect on its own. Why would you ever destroy it? I mean, it's like the holy grail of fabrics, and she's sort of destroying them. And the Regional Arts Commission also asked if I would be willing to put my work in as well. So,
and what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Well, it opens today. So.
I know, right? We're gonna have a good time. I actually am showing a lot of textile work. I felt like my opportunity to sort of show my more artistic side, my more artisanal side. So I'm doing a lot of knitwear, lots of textile developments, and I'm building off of my fall 2014. So.
And I think it's this evening you're doing something special, sort of a, what is it? What you're doing with the models tonight?
We're having a model presentation. I have to admit that I kind of got the idea from a Marquesa style, the original Marquesa style presentations. It's basically models standing on platforms as art objects in these beautiful clothing.
You mean they just stand there and freeze?
They don't. I mean, I don't want them to freeze, and I don't want them to be uncomfortable. They're definitely getting breaks, but they're standing, they're moving. I think it's going to be very organic.
So, what's the state of fashion in St. Louis? Are we trendy?
Well, I think that there are definitely some very trendy places. If you go to Cherokee, you're going to see some very brilliant dressed people who really think about how they want to look. I mean, some people might disagree with me and say if you're in Clayton or Ladue, that's where it's at, or South City. Every area has its own flavor, I think. I think that St. Louis is a little heavy on the gym shorts, so we need to think about that.
Some of us are heavy in gym shorts, I might add. Hey, listen, there's something I wanted to ask you about. I was listening to Terry Gross's Fresh Air yesterday, and I thought of you, and I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but I just want to get your reaction. Terry was interviewing a woman named Elizabeth Klein, and she wrote a book, Overdressed, The Shockingly High Cost of Cheap Fashion. And she talks about, you know, chain stores carry, I guess, sort of chic clothing or clothing that looks trendy, right? But the hidden story is the hidden cost, and we're talking about like low wages and unsafe working conditions. Often this clothing is made not in the United States. So you have any reaction? Thoughts about that?
I won't say that I haven't purchased things from fast fashion stores. Am I allowed to say names? But
sure.
Well, H&M, and I know of Target is one of them, and all of these places.
Michael Drummond buys clothes at Target?
No, maybe a T-shirt. But okay. I mean, I'm not a fashion snob. I'm not one of those people who looks at people on the street and thinks, oh God, why? Because I believe that if you start to do that, you really lose your connection with the creative spirit. And so you never know where you're going to find, you know, that. But back to your question, I at this point, I can't go into a place that is like an H&M and not get a little sick to my stomach because, you know, we have that situation that just happened in India. Where the working conditions were so poor, and they didn't even alert the workers that there's a huge crack, and then, you know, hundreds of lives are lost.
Right.
And I've seen some of these places where these factories, and it's backbreaking work. It's not okay, and I know that these people are trapped into these positions because there's no other option. And I mean, it's a double-edged sword because we think I'm not the person who would know how to get them other work, but I also know that your dollar does have power. And if you make note to the companies, if you don't purchase there, and if they know why, I think that they could, you know, change some things.
So it's not a bad idea to support local designers like you and the other ones.
Thank you. I concur. And plus, you know, it's. Some of this stuff is made so quickly and so a lot of the time I know that in some countries like China, it's mislabeled. You think you're getting cotton, you're getting polyester because everything is so rushed. And so, you know, it's like this idea of the old school European way of dressing where you buy pieces that are stable for years to come.
The Regional Arts Commission presents Dressed, opening today, and you said there's going to be a reception this evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
What time is that?
From 6 to 9:30.
6 to 9:30 at the gallery at the Regional Arts Commission on Del Mar. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Art Commission's website. And Dressed, featuring the work of some great St. Louis designers, including our guest Michael Drummond, will be on display there until June the 15th. I have to ask you quickly about your experience on Project Runway. And I think I know the answer to this, but reality TV, how much of that is real?
It's not real. It is television. I remember about the third challenge in when we got to work with Philip Tracy, I thought to myself, this isn't real. And not just because of the great honor of working with Philip Tracy, but just because I could see those producers stirring that pot and really trying to get us against each other.
So you were less catty than most people, though.
Well, thank you. I hope that maybe I just got the good edit. But I remember thinking I really would like to possibly be hired after this.
But I guess all kidding aside, though, it must have affected your career in ways that are unbelievable.
Right? It's been a wonderful gift. It has opened so many doors, Steve. So that I'm very grateful for. And I wouldn't change a thing.
That's fashion designer Michael Drummond, Dressed, opening today, running through June 15th at the Regional Arts Commission. Continued success, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm so flattered to be on your show.
Oh, and you said you've never been so nervous before.
I said I've never been more nervous about an interview in my life. NPR.
Hope it wasn't too painful for you.
No, it was a breeze.
Thanks,
you.
Michael Drummond. Thank you. And if you're free tomorrow, I'm going to be emceeing the 34th Annual St. Louis Storytelling Festival concert tomorrow evening, 7:30 at the Two Hill. Tickets at the door, or you can go to the Two Hill website. Hope to see you there. And now, commentator Nancy Kranzberg shares these thoughts about the intersection of chess and the arts.
On a recent trip to Ojai, California, I visited the Ojai Valley Museum and was pleasantly treated to an installation entitled Luster vs. Raku that featured an oversized chessboard of sculpted equine pieces finished with Beatrice Wood's famed Luster glaze. Wood was known for her shimmering pots and long, extraordinary life as both a ceramicist and theatrical character in the arts. She was also known for her connection to the famous Dada artist Marcel Duchamp. Duchamp mentored Wood as a young woman, and they became lifelong friends. Duchamp was also a chess enthusiast who actually sidelined his career as an artist to focus on the game. Of course, I immediately started bragging to my California friends and told of St. Louis's World Chess Hall of Fame, which not only highlights the all-time champions of chess, but has a permanent collection as well as stimulating special exhibitions and an incredible gift shop. One of the public relations slogans for the museum states that it's a place where chess and art collide. Shannon Bailey, the chief curator of the museum, says chess is over 1,500 years old and art has been a constant champion to the game. While simple chess sets were used for everyday play, beautiful, complex, and elegant sets have been created by artists and artisans for centuries to reflect each culture's history and aesthetic tastes. In modern times, artists continue to make chess sets, and many have shown creative license by reinterpreting the game and its pieces. The World Chess Hall of Fame has shown many chess sets, including the only two Fabergé sets ever made, and sets by Yoko Ono, Tom Friedman, and Barbara Kruger. Susan Barrett, director of the museum, says chess boards have been highly collectible works of art throughout history and that artists often use chess as signs of intelligence. She went on to tell me of the exhibition featuring Bill Smith's works entitled Beyond the Humanities. Bradley Bailey is assistant professor of art history at St. Louis University. His doctoral dissertation, Duchamp's Chess Identity, was completed at Case Western Reserve University in 2004. Bailey and Francis M. Nauman recently published Marcel Duchamp, The Art of Chess, the first major study in the English language devoted to exploring how Duchamp's activities as a chess player affected his art. Bailey also recently curated an exhibition at the St. Louis University Museum of Art entitled Marcel Duchamp, Chess Master. It was the first exhibition dedicated entirely to the artist's extensive association with chess. It was conceived as an opportunity to experience Duchamp's brilliant and influential career through the lens of his intense involvement with the royal game. Chess has been the theme of numerous well-known paintings, poems, novels, plays, films, etc. Some examples are Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There, written in 1871, in which most of the main characters are represented as chess pieces, with the main protagonist, Alice, being a pawn. The 1984 film entitled Dangerous Moves, about two men competing in the World Chess Championship Games, and a painting by American artist Thomas Aikens entitled The Chess Player from 1876. So, if all this information has stimulated your appetite to learn or play a game of chess, walk across the street from the Hall of Fame to the Chess Club and Scholastic Center of St. Louis and get involved in this incredible game. I'm Nancy Kranzberg.
Nancy Kranzberg has been involved in the arts community for some 30 years on numerous arts-related boards. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with Elaine Veets about her latest dead-end job mystery, Bored Stiff, and about her benefit for the St. Louis ALS Association. And join Don Marsh Monday on St. Louis on the Air. He'll be talking with West County native and former NBC anchor Stone Phillips about his PBS documentary on caring for aging parents. And then he'll check in with the Beacon's Washington correspondent, Rob Koenig, about the latest activities of regional interest in our nation's capital. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Doerr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.